coming back from College Station this morning, we, every month or so, they, Waco, Huntsville, Temple, sometimes College Station, and one more, Elgin, they meet and get together. It's a glorious time, and we were fellowshipping a little bit about taking up in the glory, which is the destination we all have. We were in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection, the definition of it, and the victory of it. And what Christ accomplished as the last Adam, becoming the life-giving spirit. Just as the first man, Adam, became a living soul and generated the created race, brought forth. He began, God began through Adam, breathing into Adam. He brought forth the human race. First man became a living soul. First man, Adam, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. I know we love that verse, but when you see it in context, that he brought forth a new creation, a resurrected, we called it a resurrected race, which we're being transported into and transformed into. Taken up into glory is the final stage of that, when those who have are asleep in Christ, they'll not be preceded by, I say, those who are alive will not precede those who are falling asleep, and we will be with them, taken up in the glory to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
With a glorified body.
Amen.
Waiting on that one. In the meantime, we're in this process of having our being resurrected into this other realm. It needs a created race, but since it failed, we need to enter into the real creation, the new creation, the eternal creation where we no corruption. Not subject to death, damage, destruction.
Amen.
Because Christ is the constituent.
Amen.
No longer the natural fallen Adamic life, but Christ.
Amen.
And so this little handout, we want to continue the fellowship from last month about, we used a fellowship about the community, and that was a lead-in because this, this is what I spoke to this community, because he's raising up another God-man species, I think this term we've heard, where this life is being, this unstoppable resurrected life is spreading in our being, and it's spreading through us into others. Amen. And as soon as that resurrected race, the God-man species, is mature and spread, then we'll be taken up. So there's the new man that we learned about in Ephesians. So there's a few verses here that this is putting on the community life. So that's a term we used last month, and we just wanted to bring it up again. It's not a term we've used commonly, although it's here in regards to the new man. And the verses are there in Ephesians. Therefore, I say and testify in the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the vanity of their mind. So there's one realm, one community that's walking in the vanity of their mind. And we all were in that to some degree at some point. And that is coming to naught. Actually, the last Adam terminated that Adamic, fallen, corrupted life.
Amen.
The last Adam. He put an end to that so he could germinate a new species, a new race in resurrection, constituted by his life, the resurrected life. So we no longer walk according to that mind.
Right.
That you put off as regards the former manner of life, the old man, which is being corrupted according to the lust of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which was created according to God. That's the life-giving spirit coming for Jesus Christ, saturated with the spirit and bringing forth a God-man prototype that, that humanity is now part of the Son of God.
Amen.
A uplifted, sanctified,
Amen.
Transformed Amen. Human being.
Amen. Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Amen. Amen.
That's the species.
Amen.
It's him.
Amen.
And he's saturating our mind. We're putting on the new man Amen. Created. 25, therefore, having put off the lie, speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another.
Amen.
And there's further, I think we know the verses in Colossians, you put off, 3:9, since you have put off the old with his practices, put on the new, being renewed, there can't be all these other communities.
Yeah,
they're done. But you put on, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, inward parts
Amen.
Of compassion. This is the community we're in. Kindness, lowliness, meekness, Amen. Long-suffering, bearing one another,
yeah.
and forgiving one another. Wow, what a community, Lord.
Amen.
So this, maybe we could just read a little bit of this ministry on the new man. I think the highlight here is that oftentimes we just take this individualistic, which is the wrong approach in the book called Ephesians, which is on the church, to slip back into, oh, this is just about me. That's a slippage there. We need to view this as a society that
Amen.
We were in and part of, the society that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Peter said, repent and be baptized.
Amen.
Be saved from this crooked and perverted generation.
Amen.
Get out
Amen.
And get in.
Amen.
So here, how about, maybe it's easier to just have a brother, Chris, you can read a paragraph,
okay.
and
yeah.
Paul, you can read a paragraph,
yeah,
maybe.
That.
You got
so
that
just
one?
Anxious.
Does this work, maybe? Okay. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. This one's okay? Okay. Because putting on the community life of the new man.
Amen.
Because the book of Ephesians is a book on the church, we should view everything in it from the perspective of the church.
Right.
If we fail to do this, we shall wrongly apply many things in this book. As we read 4:17 through 32, we should apply these verses corporately, not individualistically. These verses are not written in relation to the lives of individuals, but in relation to the corporate life of the one new man.
Amen.
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 The new man must become our daily living.
Amen.
In verse 24, Paul speaks of putting on the new man.
Amen.
To put on the new man means to have the church life,
Amen.
Which is
Amen.
The new life of the new mankind created by Christ in himself.
Amen.
The church is a new humanity.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The church is a new humanity.
Amen.
Corporately, we need to put on another humanity.
Yes.
It is crucial for us to have this view as we consider the second half of Ephesians 4.
Amen. Yeah.
To put off the old man is not merely to put off the old nature. It is to put off the old way of life,
the
former way of living. Our old way of living was not entirely an individualistic way of life, for it involved our social life, our community life. No human being can be altogether individualistic. Human nature is inherently social. To be a human being is to live in society and to have some kind of community life.
Amen.
In the church, we have the best community life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If there were no church meetings, we would feel aimless.
That's right.
And our existence would be meaningless.
That's right.
We enjoy coming together in the meetings.
That's right.
The fact that the saints often linger after the meetings are dismissed indicates that in the church we have a genuine community life.
Amen.
If we would be the new man, we must put off the community life of the old man and put on the community life of the new man.
Amen.
The proper community life. As we grow into Christ, we should also put off the old man especially regarding the former manner of life. Amen. The manner of life of the old man is the old social life, the old community life. By creation, every human being needs a community life. Before we were saved, we had a certain kind of social life. Now that we are saved, our social life needs a change.
Amen.
Saints, our social life needs a change.
Amen.
This means that we need a change of community.
Amen.
The church life is the best social life. Let's say it together. The church life is the best social life. We can testify that in the church life, our former social life has been exchanged for the best community life.
Wow.
Praise the Lord for the social life in the church.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's all say the last sentence.
Praise the Lord for the social life in the church.
Amen. So Amen. When we mention the community life, we're mentioning, we're referring to the life of the new man, not just being our individualistic private life, but our life of living on the earth in this society, which includes all of us. It includes our homes and everyone in a community. You have everybody. A community is there for meeting the needs of all, and all having a function, all are needed, and raising up the young ones around us to be in a proper community. And oh, how in Austin, Texas, we need a community for our families, for our minds being renewed. We need the Word of God. We need gatherings like this. We need, as the community gets weirder, especially in Austin, our community needs to get realer.
Yeah.
Realer. Yes.
Let's keep Austin real.
It's not weird. We're not part of the weird. Yeah.
Instead of keeping Austin weird, we're keeping Austin real.
Amen.
It's the real life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that is reality.
Amen.
And there needs to be a community where we care for one another. I like the way it's described in Colossians. Compassion, parts of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, Christ.
Aspects of Christ.
And we just need more of this community.
Yes.
And how are we going to go on as the age grows dimmer and the Lord's coming is closer?
Yes.
Amen.
Then we have to be more, this community needs to grow in reality and testimony and life and spread. And how this looks and how we go about it. We just wanted to fellowship. There's many aspects, many layers of a community life. There's your own individual touch with the Lord, which is the basis. If Christ is the reality of this community, if we're not getting to Christ, then there's no reality.
Yeah.
It includes, and I'm looking forward to our brothers town, April 20, brothers, come out to McKinney Russ Nature Park so we can talk about the male life.
Amen.
That's right.
The real male, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The real male life. So it starts with us brothers. It starts in the homes. It starts with the moms. It starts with having a place where our kids know what's real, what's right, what's of God in the midst of a bombardment daily.
And
their realms, whether it's their school or the news or the talk of the town or the event of the town. No, we're going to educate. We want the homes, the all the places where you are related to. There's layers. There's homes. There's families. There's twos and threes. We had a great gathering yesterday of the young working saints just coming together to be part of this. So we want a view. We hope your view is not, well, just this is just another event, and I don't know if this event is important or I should go. Or no, we don't expect you to be in everything, but our view is we want there to be a community where it meets your needs, and you can just go for it.
Amen. Right. Amen.
So I think some other brothers want to just follow this speaking a little bit. So we got maybe another 12 or 15 minutes, and then we want to open up to you to get some of your responses. Last month, the responses were very helpful about some experiences of how we want to practice, how we want to go forward to raise up the community life.
Amen.
Do you want this or do you want the handheld?
Yep. Yeah. Amen.
Last weekend I was with the 9th and 10th graders at the Young People's Conference for the 9th and 10th graders, and we had some fellowship with them to help them to realize that they are God's unique possession.
Amen.
They're His particular treasure.
Amen.
Even a peculiar treasure.
Amen.
You know what our word to them was? You're different.
Amen.
Embrace it.
That's right.
Love it.
Amen.
We're so privileged. Yeah. We're so privileged.
Amen.
But this age is also so influential.
Yes, it is.
It just sucks us in before you know it, you know? A couple years ago, it seemed like there was a lot of burden in the saints. There was burden for the children. There was burden for the young people. There was burden for the sisters. There's burden for all these different burdens rising up. There's burden for the families.
Yeah.
All these burdens rising up within. And I, you know, looking back at it now, you know, I think it's just because the saints just longed for community. They just long for, where do we raise our children? Look at this age. Look where it's become. Look at our schools. How do we take care of our children and raise them up with other children who love the Lord?
Amen.
Our young people, the families, etc. Well, I think it was just a longing for this real society, right?
Amen.
The real life
Amen.
That's in the church life.
Amen.
And, okay, so we wanted to fellowship a little bit along these lines of this one-piece fellowship. You know, we had this fellowship a month ago, and we mentioned this term, one piece, and it's really referring to our laboring together as the church life to raise up the next generation. What does that mean? That means from 0 to 100. Generation, Isaiah points out a number of times, is 20 years, right? So really it's from 0 to a young adult is to raise up the next generation for the church life, right? And I just wanted to mention just a few things in this regard. One is, you know, as we're considering how to take care of the young people, the children, the young adults, the college age, really what we're trying to do is we're trying to build opportunity for them to enter into this society, enter into this this culture, right, of God's community. And so, you know, I would say it may have looked to some of you that, you know, over the last few years, there's all of a sudden this event and then that event and then this is happening and that's happening. And it just seemed like I don't know if you were like me. I felt like my head was spinning, you know, like how many different events can we come up with here? But as we've progressed, I feel like the Lord has just kind of used this longing within us to kind of lead us into this matter of providing opportunity to the saints, providing opportunity to be built up with one another, for our young ones to be built up with one another, for the families to be built up with one another. And it's been, I would say the Lord's just kind of leading us gradually, little by little, into this matter of the one piece.
Amen.
It's not separate individual works.
Right.
We need to labor together. And when I say we, I mean all of us, all the saints are laboring together to build up this this church life society, so that our young have a place to be brought up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So really what we're trying to do is we're trying to create opportunities,
yes.
listen to this,
yes.
to put on the new man.
Yeah.
You know, when I would listen to, when I would read those chapters, like Tim was saying, I read them very individualistic.
Yeah.
Put on the new man. Okay, Lord, I'm going to put off the old man. I'm not sure what that means. I'm going to put on the new man. And the best I could do is just, you know, and it's true, put on Christ. Praise the Lord. We're putting on Christ.
Yeah.
But practically speaking, it was so helpful to read those portions of the ministry. It's so practical. You're putting off your old society,
Amen.
Your old manner of living,
Amen.
And putting on the new man, which is the church life, right?
Amen.
As our society. So that's what we're doing. We're just trying to create opportunity for all the age groups to put on the new man,
Amen.
Put on the church life, right?
Amen.
Okay, so another thing I wanted to mention before we just go into, because you're going to see a calendar here in just a minute, not to think of, like I was talking about earlier, activities. Whoa, that's just too much, okay?
That's right.
Think of it as opportunities. Opportunities, okay? There's opportunities to enter in. And I would also say, you know, the Lord has gradually has led us, and I think just because out of need, you know, it was like, what's the family camp doing? What's the family retreat doing? What's True School doing? It's been leading us to be more blended.
Right. Amen.
More blended in our consideration.
Yeah.
For one another, definitely. For the different age groups, for the different burden ones. And so now I would say it's not easy. You know, you know, I don't know how many fellowship times you're in, Brother Tim, just alone. But I mean, so much fellowship and coordination just to consider one another and consider,
yeah,
you know, how all these pieces fit together.
Yeah.
But the Lord has been bringing us on little by little.
Amen.
I was tempted to say, if you're involved in one of these coordinations, stand up. But I don't want to make anyone feel like I'm not involved. But so many pieces, moms. Single working ones,
yes.
grandparents are involved. We had a True School fellowship today. It was so different than past True School fellowships, Paul.
Yeah.
In the past, what was it before?
A handful of full-timers and you.
And then I would show up.
Yeah.
But Paul was pointing this out to the True School fellowship. Now we have, okay, if you were in True School fellowship today, go ahead and stand up. If you're in the True School fellowship, go ahead and stand up.
Amen.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Moms and college students and grandpas and so wonderful.
Yeah.
So wonderful.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's not as easy. It's not as easy, right? When you get all the full-timers together and they're like soldiers, you just give us marching orders and then, okay, break, let's go. True School is coordinated. The kids are going to show up on Monday morning. We're going to just go with it. And we just went with it for years, right? But now we're bringing all the feelings of the saints.
Right. That's right.
The moms have a feeling.
Yeah.
The brother, you know, the full-time brother may have a feeling. But we're being blended together.
Amen.
And you know what comes out? Sweetness.
Amen.
A community.
Yeah.
A blessing.
Yeah.
A blessing. I'd much rather take this way, right?
Yeah.
Much rather take this way.
Yeah.
So just consider that. When you see this calendar, don't be like, who sits down and comes up with all these things? Okay. There's been a lot of fellowship and a lot of coordination that goes into this.
Amen.
So I'm just going to give you a kind of like an overview really quick. And then Josh is going to share more specifically because we do need your attention for a few of the activities that are coming up. So if you look at this calendar, if you're a parent, you're wondering, where do I find this calendar? You can go to ypaustin.com and /activities, or just go to ypaustin.com and you can navigate your way there. But if you see, Starting now in April, you have the college outing, but you also have the sixth grade conference.
Yes.
All these young ones just rising up, just coming up through the community, right? In the community.
Yeah. Right.
And then in May, we have a family retreat. Praise the Lord for the family retreat.
Amen.
Yes.
What an opportunity for us to be blended and built together as families in the church life, right?
Yeah.
And then right after that, you have in the end of May, we have this overnight camp, and we're calling it the summer kickoff. And this is for all of our young people. You know why? Because the summer is an awesome opportunity for our young people to give their time just to be fully immersed among God's people. So there's a summer kickoff, and that's going to be on June 29th, and Josh will share a little bit more about that. And then listen, saints, we touched this last year. There's a YP service opportunity, an opportunity for the young people to learn how to function in the church life.
Right. Amen.
That is a beautiful opportunity. And a number of them took that opportunity last year. And then we have the family camps. Guess where the young people are going to be serving primarily? Guess where the young people are serving primarily? Mm-hmm. At the family camps.
Yeah, family camp.
Entering into a service, serving the saints.
Amen.
And then we have a week of True School, another family camp. At the end of July, we have another week of True School.
Great.
So many opportunities.
Amen.
Just to enter in to the community of God, right?
Yes.
Into the society of God,
yes.
So we can be
yes.
built up as the one new man.
Amen.
Amen.
YPAustin.com. It's
Amen.
It's our website for the young people. Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Saints, we're so privileged to be talking about the one new man church life.
Yeah. Amen.
Just along this fellowship, the blending and the coordination has been it's been a blessing.
Amen.
It hasn't been easy, but it's been sweet. So much sweetness, so much Christ. And just realize the Lord is moving.
Amen.
Anyway, just remembering back to some of the first time I had a relationship in the church life that was a new man relationship.
Right.
Back to my college days. One was just an 80-year-old sister who was very interested in me, very interested to pray for me and always know how I was doing. Another one was a brother in his late 50s, is very interested in me and to get together with me and just care for me. Another one was a college brother when I was in eighth grade, very interested in me, and he came to my basketball games all the way through high school, all the way through college.
Wow.
Another one was a brother that I grew up in the YP meetings and never, ever talked to because he was 2 years below me, which is a lot when you're in junior high and high school. It's like a world. But we got to know each other. We got to get together. We exercised together, and we started praying weekly.
Wow.
That relationship, that I couldn't put it into words, but recently I realized what we were touching at that young age was the reality of the body of Christ,
Amen.
The new man church life. And there was this little portion in this little watchman-y portion on the sympathizing of the high priest with us, and it just brought out that God paid this price to be a friend of sinners, to eventually be the savior of sinners.
Amen.
And you know what that price, it included? You can't be a friend of someone who you don't share an experience with. You have nothing to talk about.
Wow.
But God in Christ, he went through this price to become a friend of sinners, and he shared so many experiences with us. So as we're doing practical things that it may seem like, what is the point in this? Is anyone going to, you know? The Lord is, through these shared experiences, there's relationships that the triune God is using of all ages and beyond our concepts for the new man church life. Okay, and I just want to read. So this is from a little of the form for the summer service opportunity. And it is technically geared for the 9th through 12th graders, but this is really the whole church.
Yeah.
And anyone burdened. And we're, it says the main objective of this summer service opportunity, the main objective is to redeem our summer time.
Amen.
You know that verse in Ephesians 5:16, it says redeem the time. It can be translated redeem the opportunity.
Amen.
So redeem the time by spending time with one another, encouraging one another, and learning to live and serve in the church life. And saints, this has just been my experience my whole Christian life. When I'm alone and I'm just not... Anyway, I just allow myself to be alone. I miss a lot of opportunities. But when I'm spending time with the saints in just a socialized community life where there's the word, there's the love, so many opportunities are redeemed. And just
Amen.
Thinking back to these last few summers, so many of the young people, they just enjoyed working in triple-digit temperatures outside.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know why, but it's because it was in Christ, and it was
Amen.
We were redeeming the summer. And even just at one of the camps this last summer, there was just a young brother. The last night we were having watermelon eating competitions, and we were singing, and we were filled, and he just looked at me and said, I've never been this happy in my life. And he goes, look at everyone right now. If you could just, he's like, is this what the New Jerusalem will look like? And we were just happy in the Lord, enjoying one another in the Lord. And it was, eventually you have these companionships and you see things of the Lord. The Lord visits you. Yeah. The Lord shows you things. Yeah. And it's one thing you saw something one time by yourself when you're reading a book, but it's another thing when you and your companion saw a revelation from the Lord together that you're like, man, what are you doing? We saw that revelation. The Lord appeared to us. There's a group of us. We can never shake this. Okay, so that being said, so this is the form where this is the sign-up form for our young people, 9th through 12th graders, to be very and definitely involved in the summer service opportunity. There's other ways for younger ages and older ages to be involved. But specifically, the main thing to emphasize here is with this, there's before this, at the kickoff of the summer, there's the summer kickoff camp in Huntsville for 3 nights, 4 days. And if our young people are able to commit through this form to serve 50% of the month of June, the $285 fee for that camp will be waived. And then there's also, if you can't do that, there's also opportunities to work on a property that the church owns and make money that way. And we don't want money to be a reason anyone can't be involved in these things. Like we said, these are opportunities. Maybe in the summer there's more family travels, there's summer school. I mean, the school year's busy, and now even the summer's busy. When I was younger, the summer wasn't busy. I wished I had something like this. Right. I was at my home, lonely, kicking a soccer ball around. But if you have a few days, we would love to have you spend it with us. Let's redeem the time together. Just reach out to us, even if you have some questions about it. Reach out. There, like Zeke said, there's... main two things to emphasize. There's this summer service opportunity, the form, which is available for sign-up, and then there's the kickoff summer camp. Mm-hmm. One other aspect of that, the camp at the beginning of the summer, it's for all our young people, and it's just to get together and enjoy the Lord. There's also an opportunity to invite friends. Some friends have come to these camps in the past, and if there's someone on your heart or your family's heart or your home meeting's heart, yeah, in these age groups, pray about it. Maybe there's a way for them to join.
Amen.
And then I think, Brother Paul, were you going to say, there's other opportunities, there's Truth School that, yeah, a lot of the saints are being involved with. I was mainly emphasizing those two.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to open it up. Oh, yeah. Paul will have a little more comment about the Truth School, but we want to just pass around the microphone if y'all have some fellowship for us and some experiences or,
good,
yeah. So I need someone to run the microphone and someone to start. Here's Ian, yeah. Ian might be the first to talk. I know he's burdened.
I don't have anything.
He's very burdened for the camp.
Well, I guess I'm talking first. I don't have too much to share, but brief testimony. I had the opportunity to be involved in the family camp last summer, family day camp for 2 weeks. And like Brother Zeke said, or maybe it was Josh. Anyway, it was triple digit degrees outside. And we are all, working hard. We are moving logs and everything to get ready. But I consider those 2 weeks the highlight of my summer. It was really, really precious just getting to be. It really felt like a community effort. We had a couple of college students there. We had a lot of high school, middle schoolers there. We had, families, moms, dads, all coming in together, and just to put on this camp for the family. So it was geared at the families and young kids, but it really felt like even those who were helping to serve got a lot out of it. At least I did. And there's really something special about being part of a team, right? A team that's working together towards an objective. And how precious is it that we can be part of a team that is working towards the highest objective, which is building the church. So I'm very excited about all the stuff we have going on. I'm really happy we're having this fellowship. And, if you have time free, if you have any opportunity just to come in and get involved, you know, it's a blessing. And you know, we're working on the brothers retreat right now. That should be a really good time. We're you know, getting things ready, and yeah, I'm excited about what's coming.
It's clear that family day camp is something we do at Foremost. There's 2 weeks of it, and it's for six, K through six, but moms bring younger kids as well. So that's different than the YP camp, which we go to a facility run by another Christian organization. Mm-hmm. So don't, you know, when he says family day camp, that's family, moms and dads that can come here at Foremost, yeah, Wednesday through Saturday.
Amen. I want to share a little bit about the time for the young working saints from yesterday. As I was listening yesterday and listening to the ministry from this morning, I couldn't help but just think about patterns. The connection between sort of the mystery of godliness, which is just the God manifested in the flesh, for me, there were some patterns that I had who they were doing this. And I think all of us can testify, if there weren't some ones who were patterns to us, this mystery would be, it would still be a mystery to us. I was just really considering, I guess, along the lines of what we were sharing about tonight, in my stage of life, in my 20s, I've noticed that I'm a son to aging parents, and American society fails to teach me on how I should conduct myself and be a good aging son to aging parents. And I realized that, and I said, well, the church life is also my real family. So I start to realize I have a need inwardly that my condition and stage in life, I needed to find some spiritual parents to really ground myself in as well. So I started to really, the Lord had mercy on me to organically bring me into contact with some families and saints here in Austin, and I got connected with them. I got into their home. You know, what you learn in college, you know, the homes win. It doesn't stop just when you graduate from college, and it doesn't have a floor where you can't start learning that when you're in high school or middle school, and it doesn't stop and have a ceiling when you graduate from college and you're in a new stage of life as well. And I just started to have these experiences with these families and in these homes where eventually I was going to them and I wanted to hear a little bit about their experience, and they were sharing that with me. But also to take care of this very specific need, they started to have the ground with me like a mother or father would, so they could really speak some specific things to me which really touched my inner being. And through that, the Lord was able to really speak something and minister to me as well. And especially this matter of what we're talking about, this is not just an individualistic thing, saints. We all need to enter into such a corporate view for this. Amen. Oh, Lord, bring all of us into such a corporate heavenly view. Amen. So anyway, I was just really encouraged that, you know, we're having this kind of ministry and this fellowship, and we're all able to enter into the church life, which is the new and real family life. Amen.
The conferences were last weekend, and I was in the middle school conference about the Spirit and the Church. They just summed it up in 5 messages, so it was real brief because these are big topics. But some points I enjoyed were about baptizing and drinking the Spirit.
Amen.
So baptism. Is the initiation of the mingling with Christ. And it's just once, and then we can be with Christ. We step 1 foot out of the world and into God's kingdom.
Amen.
But then Satan's still attacking us, so what can we do? We can drink him.
Amen.
We can take him in.
Amen.
And we can... this is a forever. We will constantly drink him.
Amen.
Even after death, we will drink him.
Amen.
Another thing I enjoyed was about drinking. It's like, how do we constantly drink Christ? During our day, how do we drink Christ? It's just by calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Just like to give a testimony about this matter of putting on the community life for the one new man. us brothers, we've been spending a lot of time just to fellowship over a number of matters just related to this summer, you know, and this matter of this word community, you know. You know, some of the saints here know a little bit how the Lord saved me. And really, I was rescued from the vanity of my mind in an old community. I'm from Austin, and believe me, there I know many segments of Austin. I know a number of people from Austin. I can go on about that, okay? However, I knew when I came into the church life, it demarked. I'm burying that old community, and I'm coming into a new community. And for me, being raised in Austin, which at that time, I was very proud to say I was a Chicano. I was very proud to say I'm a Tejano. Yeah. I was very proud to say I am an Austinite. Yeah. It truly, that was the inward feeling of my being. Yeah, sure. When I came in here, what is this? Yeah. What am I now? And so, you know, little by little, the Lord started, I got married. And then I started realizing that God's image, likeness, dominion is so that man can be fruitful and multiply. And then I had three kids. When the third child came, believe me, my wife can hold one child, and I can hold one child. But the third child, we need another set of arms. How am I going to do that? Well, early on, I thank the Lord for that time. We had home meetings around the campus work, you know. We're very focused on the vital groups. And eventually, the Lord led me just to spend time with two families. And I would say, with a clear conscience here, I believe we spent a solid 10 years together. During those 10 years, what did we do? Some of those brothers, they opened up to me, and they say, "Brother, with all respects, we love the college students, but we're not that burden. We're now burdened for our children, number one. Number two, we're burdened for certain coworkers in our offices." So me, I was serving full-time at that time. I said, "Well, I'm burdened for college students." You know, we're opening, we're fellowshipping. And I really felt like we touched blending. Amen. At that time, I felt we were touching blending. Amen. And you know what? The Lord led us. Praise the Lord. We were able to still take care of all the burdens. College students, co-workers, and especially our children. Looking back, some of these brothers' co-workers got saved. Amen. They went to be with the Lord because they were older. But they got saved. An atheist, one of them was an atheist. He got saved. Amen. We spent 3 years reading the word with this man. And from the reading of the word, just the gospels, he got saved. Amen. Students, we still stay in touch with some of the students that came from El Paso. Anyway, then our kids. We had more than a dozen of camping trips. Three families. I got all the pictures to prove it. Then, you know what? We would come to their homes every Friday night. We just gather all together to eat, pray over their food with our kids. And then the kids would go out and play. And then the parents would stay back and opening to one another about their kids. And pray more. Anyway, I can just keep going on and on and on. They grow up, go to their football games. My kids are involved in band. They come to our games. We go to their games. And we're still in the meetings doing Bible camp. We're still doing truth school now. And guess what? Now my kids, my oldest daughter, and this is where I end here. My oldest daughter, She helps pick up kids, 6 or 7 freshmen from the campus, drives our van. She prays with some of the kids of these families that we got built up with, praying for their cousins that are coming into the church life. They're coming to solid ground. How did that happen? The parents, we didn't even prompt them. It was the children that are praying for their own relatives and the new ones. So this is the kind of environment our kids are being raised up. So we didn't have these camps at that time, but I feel that these camps are just opportunities for our kids to get related. Opportunities for families to get related. Opportunities for our kids to be raised in such an environment of the one new man. I just thank the Lord, and I'm just looking forward because I still have my 2 kids that are still growing up. The college one I still taking care of, but not as much as the other 2. But the point is that they're touching another level of community that I really believe the Lord is going to use it to further his purpose.
Amen. Hey, say, I'm going to follow you. Hold on. You look at 2 of us. Different culture, different ground, different blood. But we are in the same community. Yeah. I want to follow that on that, okay, about the community. Wei and I, we don't have kids, and we don't know how to handle high schoolers, but our home is open. So even last year, summertime, we still keep our home meeting open because of the number of students that are involved with the internship. And then our full-timer and check with us, can we invite a high schooler? Sure, and we share. So the high schooler at that time was David. I don't know. He probably ended up come to UT and in the corporate living, right? Is that Dave? From Fugerville. So he only came a couple times, and we get a chance to know him just a little bit. And what I'm saying is this, we don't know how to handle, but we have a ways. Our home is open, and we can invite these people. And in the past, the senior high schooler also came to our home meeting. And then eventually, when this young one, they see the college student, they see the pattern. And then they see the home opening up, and they see another pattern. I want to follow what Brother just mentioned, that pattern. I think at all different levels, and that needs us to have a change in our mind. Yes. We are all in the same community. Amen. I want to echo on this sentence. In the church, we have the best community life. Amen. And the church life is the best social life.
Amen.
I don't know how to do it, but we have a home we like to open up. Amen. Having this high schooler, eventually they get into our heart. We get to know them. Then that's what we heard. David from Fugerville and ended up into Cobra Living, even though he has not been our home meeting on Tuesday night, but doesn't matter. We get chance to get connected with these people. Amen. Think about it. This is our big family here in Austin. Amen. We are in this community, same community. Amen. Doesn't matter what color, doesn't matter what is it. We share the same life and nature.
Amen.
Eventually, through the blending, will come out of the one new man.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to make a transition here. Praise the Lord. So different topic, finances. So we've been letting the church know for the past month or more about the need in 3 of our sister churches in the area, Seminole, Lubbock, and Round Rock. And Seminole is the newest church in the Texas area, which kind of was born out of a Mennonite community, and they've just been growing and growing. They desperately needed a place to meet, and they found a property for $235,000 in Seminole. I think it was a former Christianity building. And so they had until April 1st to come up with the money, and we sent $25,000 last Friday, and everything they need was met. So praise the Lord. You know, we on the sheet, on the emailed announcements, we mentioned that we'd like to try to raise $100,000 for all three. And of course, our brothers in our fellowship, our expectation was that the church would also match some of that. So then the next one is Lubbock. Lubbock, you know, they're growing and they're also gaining lots of students off the Tech campus. And they found a building that used to be a medical laboratory facility, over 10,000 square feet on an acre and a half. They agreed to sell it for $2,150,000. So, but actually, that was a really excellent price. Wow. It was 33% cheaper than market. Anyways, they let us know at the beginning of this year that there was a need for still more than $250,000. And last Friday, a week ago, we gave $50,000 to Lubbock. They are currently, they still need a little over $100,000, and they need it by the 19th of this month. So we'll keep that announcement on the announcement sheet. If anything else comes in for Lubbock, you know, we'll send it there. And of course, all the churches in the area are contributing. Yeah. But we believe they'll make make what they need by the 19th. Then the third one is Round Rock. Of course, that's the closest church to Austin, and most of the saints there came out of Austin. So we have a bigger burden for Round Rock, and they're growing and expanding, and they purchased a property many years ago, and then they've just gradually been collecting funds from the local saints and so forth, and then they made an announcement last fall that they still needed well over $1 million. I can't remember, almost 1.5 million. And so that's being whittled away. And as the money comes in, they're building. They've already laid, they've done all the parking lot. They've laid the foundation. And soon they'll be constructing the building. We gave them $100,000 a week ago Friday. But that need is still there. And of course, Lubbock, by the 19th of this month, they still need to come up with a little over $100,000. So we want to let the church know what we've done with your money, and that's where we are. A couple other things to mention on a different topic. The month of April is extremely busy. We have a lot of activities, a lot of gatherings, and there's a need for some practical help related to the All Brothers outing on the 20th, related to the area elders meeting on the 27th, and then the church-wide picnic on the 28th. And so I just want to give you a heads up that we're going to send an email out soon to maybe like a Google form or something where you can just sign up and let us know how you can help if you're burdened and if you have a way to help out for those activities. Okay, one other thing. We have a new married couple to introduce. That is Ryan and Jenny. Okay.
Thank you. I just want to take this family time to introduce our new formed family. So I'm Ryan, for those who do not know me. And this is Jenny.
Hi, it's nice to meet you all here. And I come from church in New York City, and I have been attending a meeting there for 6 years. So now I just moved here just 2 days ago. So I'm looking forward to blend and build up with all saints here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. One last thing to mention. Some of you may know our brother John Cox went to be with the Lord on Friday. He had been sick for several years with cancer, and he passed on Friday. So maybe if details come out, we'll let you know about the upcoming memorial. Amen. I think we're... Oh, yeah, there is a new morning revival book. We finished this one in the book room. It's available from the winter training. $5.50. Amen. We are dismissed.